Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You're listening to The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2. I'm Neil Manthorpe, and as always, I'll be joined by former England fast bowler Steve Harmison to look ahead to England's three-match T20 series with Sri Lanka. Over the course of the show, we'll hear from Owen Morgan, Chris Wokes and Jos Buttler, as well as Sir Alastair Cook. And finally, we'll be joined by England bowler Kate Cross to reflect on England's dramatic test match with India last week. So, much to get stuck into. You're listening to The Cricket Collective here on TalkSport 2. So, England back in T20 action against Sri Lanka in three T20 internationals starting on Wednesday. The good news for fans, and indeed for those watching and listening, is that more fans are being welcomed back into the stadiums for the Sri Lankan ODIs. Harmy, welcome. There's an awful lot to get through. You excited about this Sri Lankan series?
Yeah, very much so, Manners. I'm looking forward to seeing the real England player, not the Test match England who just seemed to be fudged together and chucked out and thought, right, a little bit of an afterthought. The proper England side are going to be playing, and it's going to be interesting to see how England line up and go forward for what is going to be a very important series. Not only against Sri Lanka, but Pakistan as well, leading into the World T20.
Well, without further ado, let's hear from Owen Morgan. And it's interesting because he's been asked one particular question a lot ever since Alex Hales was banished from the England setup. But here was the England captain talking about the Sri Lankan series and inevitably, he was asked the Hales question once again.
I think he does. When you look at the player that he is and the performances that he puts in around the world, he's a very fine player. But when you look at the players that we have available to us at the moment, we're spoiled for riches at the top of the order. And I think the longer you spend out of a side, the further away you get from that position that you once had. And I think looking at our top order at the moment in particular, even outside our top three or four, we have guys sitting behind there that have drastically improved through to performance in an international shirt and that are taking up positions.
So that was Owen Morgan on Alex Hales' chances of playing for England again. So the door is not closed, Harmy, but it doesn't sound like Alex needs to be dusting off his England kit just yet and expecting a call-up anytime soon.
No, I don't think he's going to be holding his mobile phone in the air too much to make sure he's got reception looking for an Owen Morgan recall. Hey, I think Alex Hales is a fantastic player. I still believe if you look at the squad, he's still one of our best options at the top of the order. Even though you've got the likes of Bairstow, Roy, Butler, Stokes, I still think Hales has proven around the world and time after time. We see him the other day against my old county. He got 96 in a crack. Fantastic. On a ground which is not a small ground, a massive ground. He's still one of England's best players. England have got an issue with Alex Hales. And they don't seem to want to pick him. They say that there is a trust element that Owen Morgan's mentioned before. He didn't mention it in that interview. I think he was questioned on it. But look, I just think the best thing for Alex Hales and the best thing for Owen Morgan, the England cricket team, would be to move on. For the simple fact is, he's going to get question mark after question mark after question mark. And Alex Hales is just sitting there and he's quite happy for other people to do his talking. The interesting point, the part of this and the ECB's element of it is, it's nowhere near similar to what happened with Ollie Robinson. But the Ollie Robinson walks back into the England fold later on in the summer. Alex Hales, quite rightly, will be asking, well, you know, why am I still banished to the sideline? So, look, he's still a fantastic player. I still would, if they deem that he's done his punishment, up for selection, I still think he's a fantastic player to have in the England side. But Owen Morgan he runs a show and he doesn't seem to want to have him around. So, I don't think Alex Hales will be playing for England anytime soon.
Is it just Owen Morgan's decision, or do you think that he's reflecting the thoughts and attitudes of some of the senior players? I mean, a few players have spoken out and said that they wouldn't have any problem at all if Alex Hales was recalled.
I think it's when you're put under pressure like that, you have to say that as a senior player. I think you have to. It's more sensationalised if you say, "No, I don't think he should be come back. I don't think that's ever gonna happen by a player," even though that they're possibly thinking that honestly. But I think at the end of the day, I actually think it is a lot down to Owen Morgan. I think he runs the ship. I think it's his. He's at the wheel and. Who are we to question? The guy is a phenomenal leader. He looks after that England camp very, very well. And he has got a ridiculously proven track record of making sure that this team has been going in the right direction for a number of years now. So even if it is just a personal decision from Owen Morgan, I don't think we can question it too much. I think we can have... you know, questions to put to Owen Morgan, but I think when he gives the answers, I think we have to back the guy up. So I've got no issues with that. It would be nice if there was clarity to say, look, Alex Hales is probably not going to play cricket for England again, and then we all move on. Alex moves on, the England cricket team moves on. Owen Morgan doesn't have to field answers like he has done. A little bit like the Kevin Peterson situation. KP got a treble 100 at the Oval for Surrey against Leicester. Andrew Strauss rang him up, brought him in, and I think Kevin thought he was coming back into the England fold. He just said, look, door's closed, probably not going to play ever again. Went out to the media and said, look, for the best of the English cricket, we're moving on from Kevin, and that's it. And I think that for me was the best thing that Andrew Strauss had done. Was it the right thing? Who cares whether it was the right thing or the wrong thing? But we all got clarity and the door was firmly closed on Kevin Peterson and everybody moved on. The team, the captain and the ECB. I think that might need to be time now to do that with Alex Hales.
Okay, there's a lot to talk about. I mean, there's some really interesting selections. For me, the one that stands out is the recall of Chris Wokes to the T20 squad for the first time since 2015. He hasn't been in a T20 squad for England for 6 years. Now, I just may not be able to remember whether there was a technical reason. I don't know whether anybody ever said that he's a better 50-over player than he is a T20 player. It seemed to me that they just have too many good white ball players and therefore they had to pick and choose. I mean, I think I described it a couple of years ago as seeming like a lucky dip, you know. So Chris Wokes came out of the T20 ball, lucky dip ball. But, you know, he's back now in the T20 squad. Do you think it's a chance for him to try and make that bit more permanent, press for a place in the world, in the T20 World Cup squad?
I hope so, for Chris's sake. I just like to see him back playing, to be honest. He was England's best player. He was player of the year less than 6-8 months ago. He's not played since. So, no, I feel a little bit for Chris Wokes. I don't agree with a lot of things he said this week, but hey, I live in the older generation and we have to trust these players now that they're doing things for the right reasons because we've not been in these COVID bubbles. We can sit in these sort of glass houses and throw stones every now and again because we live You know, we live in a world that, you know, what was different when we played the game. So I have to trust these guys when they're talking about it's time to have a rest and all that stuff. And he's been unfortunate. Sharing a taxi with Mo and Ali was something, you know, very, very unfortunate. Didn't have a bit of luck. So it's nice to see him, his name back in. It'll be nice to get him on the field. The one thing that I look at this squad, and they've brought players in, and I think there's some players, the likes of Mark Wood, I think it's good to have in because he could be having a little bit of a break after the exertion of the two test matches. But there's some players that, a little bit like Matt Parkinson, I'm pleased Matt Parkinson didn't get picked. But there are a couple of players where I'm looking and thinking, if you don't play in the first 11, what are you doing in this squad? Because you need some cricket. And I'm thinking the likes of Sam Curran, Tom Curran, Wokes, especially Livingston, the guys that have been to the IPL, haven't played a great deal of cricket recently. The last thing they want to be doing is carrying drinks for the next 3 or 4 weeks because they're just kicking their coming back into cricket can a little bit down the road. They're in the bubble. And for me, I just don't see the point of them being like that. So it's going to be interesting to see how England play these next six 2020 games to get the best out of, and the one days to get the best out of players who haven't played a great deal, to making sure they've got enough cricket going further down the road. Because if somebody doesn't play for the next, six white ball games, that hasn't been playing since the IPL, who didn't play a great deal over the winter, when you do need them and a few injuries crop up, you're asking a lot of somebody who hasn't played a great deal of cricket.
Okay, David Willey's also in the squad for the first time since the 2019 World Cup. Liam Dawson is the third spinner behind Mohan Ali and Adil Rashid, so I'm not sure how much game time he'll get. No place for Ben Stokes, Jofra Archer and Rhys Topley, all out with injury. Let's hear from Chris Wokes. You know, as you mentioned, England's cricketer of the summer, and he hasn't played for 6 months. Was he surprised to be back in England's T20 squad?
I didn't fear that I played my last. I thought that I might have played my last, but, you know, that's just the way it goes. I think in many, many ways, it has kind of helped my test and ODI career as well. Having not played T20 for a little while for England meant that I could focus on a few of the formats. You know, to play all three at the highest level is quite tricky to do, I suppose, more so as a bowler and as an all-rounder. So, I don't think I never kind of thought that it was over. But then at the same time, I would have been surprised if I kind of got back in. So, it did come as a little bit of a surprise to get the call.
Well, nothing controversial there, Harmy. But just very quickly, for those who may have missed his comments a little earlier in the week, what was it about them that caused your eyebrow to raise?
Yeah, it was just, I just live in a different world and a different time from when I played. You know, talking about the amount of cricket and the amount of time in this bubble and try to justify why he didn't play in that second test match. And I just think I'm not going to single out Chris because I think a lot of Chris Wokes. I think he is an easy option sometimes to either leave out. He is a fantastic human being who works tirelessly hard for his teammates and his country and his team when he plays for Warwickshire. So it would be unfair to sort of criticise him a hell of a lot. But I think there is player power, and sometimes player power isn't always the best thing, but it works both ways. And like I mentioned last week, Trent Bolt raced around the world 10,000 miles to get him prepared to play for the World Test Championship. And I made the example, rightly or wrongly, Chris Wokes was 10 miles down the road and couldn't play because he didn't have enough bowling inside him in the nets and these numbers weren't up. I just think sometimes with this ECB lot is there's too many cooks behind the scenes justifying their jobs. And they're complicating it sometimes for the players. And when things aren't going so well, sometimes it's better. You know, it's a good excuse for the players just to back off a little bit and hide under an excuse of, well, he tells me not to play. Get some onus and ownership of your career because you're the one that's going to live and die by the numbers that you'd have at the end of it. And if you want to play, demand that you play.
Well, you know, Harmy, I was asking Owen Morgan this question in December last year, when they were playing three T20s against South Africa. And then there's been five against India. You know, I mean, it's constantly Are you fine-tuning? Are you getting ready for the T20 World Cup? I mean, it's very different conditions, different personnel, but it's the same old question, isn't it? I mean, it is, the T20 World Cup does provide relevance for this series, but it still just seems like mostly England's plans are in place, aren't they? I mean, they know who their first choice personnel are. They've done so much fine tuning. How much more fine tuning can you do?
Thing that I said in part one, where I worry that some of the players, when you look at the side, England play their best side. Some of the players that are in the squad who haven't played a great deal of cricket in recent times, i.e. they've been to the IPL, haven't played, been rested in between time from coming back and not played a great deal in the Blast. And then they go into this bubble now, and if England play their best side, which they should do and they've got to because they've got a World Cup round the corner, some of these players won't play cricket a great deal this, you know, in the next, or won't have played cricket, all told, till after the 2020 World Cup for the best part of 18 months now. And that, for me, is a concern, because when you come to, when you see what you've got now, you've got Archer to get back in the squad, and you've got, back in the team, and you've got Stokes to definitely come back in the team. If some of these players don't come back in or get injured, then you're asking a hell of a lot of players, of people who haven't played for a while, to go into a T20 World Cup and actually perform, because all they've done is practice in the nets or do the fielding. I look at this side, I think Livingston will probably play. I watched Livingston bat. I was commentating on the game for the TV, Livingston play against Durham, and he batted very, very well. Thought his mindset game plan early in his innings wasn't great, but he stuck it out there and he got himself a score for his side. I think Livingston will probably come into the reckoning where, instead of Stokes, in the middle order, as opposed to Stokes going in at the top of the order. But I can't see a game for the likes of Dawson, for Billings. Billings has been carrying drinks in IPL. Been carrying drinks for a while now, not played a great deal of cricket, Sam Billings. He's going to do the same for the next 4 or 5 weeks. I can see Chris Wokes doing exactly the same. I don't see Wokes getting in this side. I really don't. So Chris Wokes now goes from not playing at all for a hell of a long time to then going into another bubble and not playing again. You know, when you look at Sam Curran's got to play. We need Sam Curran. We're going to need him in over in Abu Dhabi, where the World T20 is probably going to be. You're going to have Chris Jordan, you're going to have Mark Wood. The firepower that England need, the ball through the air. So Wokes isn't likely to play because you're going to play the spin twins of Rashid and Mo and Ali. So it, for me, it's wasted some of the non-squad, the non-players that are in the team that are just going to kick their heels for a long, long time. And that's why I'm over the moon that someone like Matt Parkinson, who potentially could come into Ashes contention because England might look at a leg spinner over in Australia, that he is not going to be in this bubble. He's going to be playing T20 Blast for Lancashire. He's going to be playing a lot of cricket. But when it comes to competition time, if England lose a Rashid or a Mo and Ali through injury or for whatever reason, then you've got somebody that's actually played and performed. So you're right. Fine-tuning is one thing, but also looking at the bigger picture and making sure there's a volume of cricket for everybody, I think the need to have one eye on that.
I don't understand Owen Morgan's insistence on playing his strongest 11 all the time, Harmy. He did it. He made one change to the team in 3 games in South Africa in December. Yeah. It was the same team against India. And I don't understand it. It's a different thing. And I know that you and I are of a similar generation. I'm being unkind to you there.
Similar mindset.
Same mindset. So it's one thing England not playing their strongest team in a test series and then losing a test series for the first time since, for 7 years, as they did against New Zealand. But I don't understand why you wouldn't want to play a Liam Dawson and play the fringe players and play Wokes. Because how many games does Joss Butler and Sam Curran and Johnny Bairstow, whoever, how many games do they need to play? I mean, everybody knows what they're capable of. But here's my point. Why not be prepared for an accident or a disaster or something goes wrong during the T20 World Cup? And then know that Livingston can step in and open the batting if he's in the squad. Know that, you know, I mean, we all know Chris Wokes is a very fine player, but I just don't understand why Owen Morgan is so determined not to, you know, play fringe players. Because you're sure, maybe he'll be criticised if England play some reserves and get beat. But it's not the same as losing a test match and a test series.
No, and this is the case in point that probably Owen Morgan is saying, that the amount of focus, shall we say, on white ball cricket recently, he probably feels the feelers that have to justify playing their strongest team all the time. Because if their players are getting rest and rotated for missing test matches, then the need to play. And the need to play, and he wants them to play their best side possible. And I fully get that. But my point is, if you're going to rest players from test series, but then not pick them during what you're saying, not pick them during a white ball leg of it, then you're defeating the object of trying to protect and look after your players. Because, you know, when I'd look at somebody like Chris Wokes, the winter was a waste of time for him. It was a complete and utter waste of time for that lad. And I keep going back to Chris Wokes, but we go to the point that he was player of the year. He was England's best player last summer. And all of a sudden, because he got in a taxi with Mo and Ali, he's missed a hell of a lot of cricket. He's now getting criticised by the likes of me and yourself and whoever, saying he should have been playing in the test series and he didn't, because the volume of overs weren't there, or his body wasn't there and it wasn't right for him to play. And England have now picked him in a 2020 squad, and I don't see him playing. I really don't. As much as I want to see him playing, England will probably put Chris Jordan ahead of him, because I can see Jordan ahead of him if it gets to the 15-man squad being picked tomorrow for the World T20. So a lot of it is looking after and comfort blanket and making sure that all bases are covered for Owen Morgan and the white ball side. And again, the red ball side has been pushed to one side. And some of the players in this have been left behind and missed out, because they're just... If you're not on the 1 to 11, then it doesn't seem we're really that bothered about you. I know flexibility is not there where you used to be able to just jump out and play for Warwickshire or go and play for your county. In COVID, I fully understand that, but I think I'm not sure the ECB understand that sometimes when they're making these decisions. Oh, we'll pick him in the squad because if something happens, we've got somebody, a good backup plan. But we're going to pick our best team. He's going to be isolated, sitting in a hotel, not actually playing, when he could have been left out of the squad, playing in the blast, enjoying his cricket, getting himself in it. And then we could just drop him into the squad with a 2 or 3 day, you know, quarantine note, and bang, he's available to play. So a lot of it is, I don't understand a great deal of it. This is the COVID world that they're hiding behind. And whether there is the hiding behind or it is actually that's the way it is, it's hard to understand from a former player. And understanding my onus on my career, why am I not playing? These are the questions I would want to be asking and wanting answers from my superiors. Saying, well, hold on, I've not played for 6 weeks. I was away all this winter and not played. You told me I wasn't ready to play in the test matches. I am now in the squad, but am I going to play? If I'm not going to play, just leave me and let me play for Warwickshire. If I'd be asking this if I was Chris Wokes. Some of the questions I'd be asking, if I didn't get the right answer, I'd be fuming.
Right. I mean, at some point, a player has to say, I think, look, if I'm the 17th or 18th man, please let me play for my county. Let's hear from both camps now, very quickly, before this section comes to an end. In a moment, Mickey Arthur, Sri Lanka's head coach, let's get their perspective. But first, Jos Buttler, saying what you might expect him to say, but using the T20s this summer to build confidence ahead of that T20 World Cup.
No, really important to get that sort of side and squad and things nailed down, you know, role clarity for people and just familiarity of playing together. I think that was, you know, it's going to be a mark of, you know, successful teams, the ones that know each other well and are playing good cricket going into the tournament. And I think that was something that helped us in the 50-over World Cup, you know, going in confident, having played good cricket. So we need to focus hard on these next few T20s to make sure we put ourselves in as good a position as we can be for when we get to the World T20.
The situation of the two squads could hardly be different. I mean, polar opposites in the sense that England are very, very settled. Joss talks about role definition there. I think most of the players know exactly what their role is. It's very, very clearly defined and has been for some time. Mickey Arthur, however, is presiding over wholesale changes to the Sri Lankan squad. There has been a massive contract dispute. Some of the big players like Angelo Matthews have had their annual retainers being cut by as much as 40%. There's been a great deal of disquiet. At one stage, the Sri Lankans were threatening not to come on tour, to go on strike. So it's all been very difficult. Mickey Arthur, of course, again, trying to pour oil on troubled waters, tells us that there's been no discussion amongst the players. I'm sure there has been, but about the contract disputes.
We have not mentioned it at all, and it has not been on the radar since we've been here. It's just been cricket, cricket, cricket. And I think, you know, everybody's been mature enough just to put that on the back burner and realize why we're here. So it has not been a distraction. It's not been an issue as far as I know at all.
I've known Mickey Arthur a very long time. I count him as a friend. And I can tell you that I'm not entirely sure that I believe what he just said there. It's time to move on from Lasith Malinga for Sri Lanka and many of the big names in Sri Lankan cricket. I'll get Harmy's thoughts on that in the third half, in the third quarter of the programme. A reminder that the three-match T20 series between England and Sri Lanka gets underway in Cardiff on Wednesday evening. We'll have updates of that game across the TalkSport network. But next up on the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2, we'll be joined by England bowler Kate Cross to look back at England's thrilling draw with India in their only test last week.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'd definitely be open to it. There's obviously been a lot of draws in women's test cricket in previous games. So yeah, it's definitely something I think that should be looked at. Obviously we lost a little bit of time through the weather, etc. Throughout this match and weren't able to force it. But yeah, I'd definitely be open to it. I think generally over eights are pretty good in women's cricket. And obviously we didn't quite get all the overs that we should have done in this match. But yeah, I think if there was another day, what a great sort of finish it would have been. We're almost robbed of that finish because there wasn't an extra day and we didn't have the time in the game. So, yeah, something I'd definitely be open to.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective here on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and former England fast bowler Steve Harmison. If you've missed any of the show or you wish to catch up, you can, of course, listen back to the podcast from the following on feed, now available via the free TalkSport app or wherever you get your podcasts. Right, time to look back at what was a thrilling, highly entertaining test match, one-off test match, unfortunately, between England and India in Bristol. And I'm delighted to say that we're joined by TalkSport's own Kate Cross. So much to reflect on, Kate. And I've got a whole bunch of questions for you, and I know that Harmy has as well. First thing to say is congratulations. I mean, it was terrific entertainment. I mean, and when you appeared to be if not on the verge of victory, then on the verge of giving yourselves a very good chance of victory. There was a ninth wicket partnership of 104. You know, it's one thing Jimmy Anderson and Monty Panesar batting out 15 overs for not many runs, but a partnership of 104 for the ninth wicket. But yeah, I mean, half centuries for Heather Knight, Sophia Dunkley and Tammy Beaumont. So much to reflect back on. Sense of frustration or not for you?
Yeah, I think naturally, you know what it's like when you can't take that wicket that you need to, especially when you're so close to forcing a victory. But I think the frustration was probably then overshadowed by the fact that it was such a thrilling game. And I think as players, we probably didn't really grasp that until we got off the pitch and we were, you know, able to see everything on Twitter and social media around the buzz that was women's cricket for those 4 days, which was really nice to see. Normally we come off from a test match and you've got quite a lot of negative chat. So it was really nice to come off and see some real positive stuff around the women's game for a change.
Men tend to be very reluctant to give credit to their opponents. I'm delighted to say that in the women's game, generally in my experience, you know, there is far more of a willingness to say, you know what, fair enough. They've got some really good players. They fought back very hard. You know, they were forced to follow on. I don't know, 17-year-old Shafali Verma. What a player she seems to be.
Yeah, she is going to be something else. I mean, she is something else already, and she's only 17, which is frightening. We've got our own little child prodigy in the team in Sophie Eccleston, and she's 22 now, and we still think of her as the baby of the team. And Shafali's got another 5 years on Sophie. So I guess from the wider point of view, it's great to think where women's cricket's going to be in another 5 years when you've got the likes of Verma coming through. And to get 96 on test debut, I mean, I've never scored 96 in my life. So, you know, it's hard to grasp that as a debutant playing in foreign conditions as well. In a game that we don't play often, we play the test match format every 2 or 3 years. So to be able to do that, she's a very special player. And I hate to say that I'm going to have to bowl at her a little bit more in these upcoming series.
And Kate, the test match on reflection, when you look back at it, because, you know, the women's game, you don't play a great deal of test match cricket, but for the time it was on TV at a prominent time. It was the World Test Championship. It was raining. When you look back at it now, is this something that you've got to be saying to the ICC that we need to play more of it? Because the amount of goodwill and the amount of positive talk that's come from what happened between England and India, this is something that needs to happen more and more.
I absolutely think so, yeah. And I think if you ask all the players, we've always said we want to play more test match cricket, because I'm a big believer in the fact that you learn the game through the longer format of it. You know, you learn how to hold your skill for longer. And we just don't have access to that as female players. So growing up, you're immediately thrown into 2020 cricket and how to play the reverse sweep and paddles and slower bowls and that kind of thing. So I think it's only a positive thing to get more of the longer format in the game. But I think that needs to start at domestic level first. And I think now that we've got the regional hubs available to the girls, I think that's where it needs to start in England. Whether the ICC take the bait and let us play more test cricket, then I'd be all for that as well and get more countries playing it. I think it'd be great.
When I first heard that the test match was being played on a used pitch, I was outraged. I was appalled. I had visions of this kind of dust bowl that had a 4-day game played on it. And then I heard that it was only 37 overs. And it was more of the principle that offended me rather than... It seemed to play pretty well, actually. I mean, as I said, it wasn't a great look that it was played on a used pitch, but actually that wasn't an issue, was it, in the end?
It was a pretty fair pitch, to be honest. There wasn't much in it for the bowlers. But then we play with a Kookaburra ball as well, which I don't think helped in terms of like a home advantage. I'm pretty sure if we'd have used a Duke's ball, I think we'd have probably seen a bit of a different game play out. But there was a lot of talk about the pitch before we'd even played on it. And I think it was only fair we played the match and then assessed it. I'm not the best at reading pitches at the best of times, so probably the worst person to ask. But I think you're right. I think it was more the principle. And I feel like we're getting to a stage where we ask the question now, would that happen in the men's game? and a youth pitch just certainly wouldn't. And I'd like to think now moving forward that we've almost earned the right to be able to play on brand new pitches in all formats of international cricket, just to give us the best chance of having outcomes games and, you know, getting results out of, especially a one-off test match that, you know, we don't play another test match now until the Ashes in January. And we want to have results when we do manage to play the test match form. So, yeah, I think moving forward, it's going to have been turned into a positive, which is a good thing. But unfortunately, we've had to have that incident happen for us to be able to get that outcome.
Sorry, Manus, how do we get more four-day test matches? How do we get more four-day cricket into the women's game? Is it the domestic level, which is so important to sort of push this drive forward? Because we've seen there's a lot of positivity come out of it. You know, do the ECB need to take more onus and say, right, we're going to drive the women's game into four-day cricket, and then that will then knock on effect throughout the world?
I think it's a difficult one. It's a bit chicken and egg, isn't it? Because if we're playing a lot of 2-3 day cricket at domestic level and you've got no other international sides playing that, then, you know, could we, us, Australia, India, move a lot further forward than other nations? So I think there has to be a real buy-in from all the cricket boards, which we're starting to see more in general with the amount of investment that's happening in the women's game. But yeah, I've said now, like I just mentioned, having the regional hubs where you've got more professional players who aren't taking time off work anymore and, you know, taking 4 days off for one, that's for if you've got a full-time job. Whereas now we're seeing girls getting paid to play cricket. Could we open that up a little bit more and get a format in at the start of the summer, at the end of the summer? I'm not too sure, but I do want to see more of it. I genuinely think it'll help the women's game so much.
Sorry, Kate, I was going to ask you, I'm embarrassed to say, I didn't know that you were playing with the Kookaburra, and I don't understand why. I mean, the Dukes is England's secret, well, not secret weapon. The Dukes ball's, you know, England's friend. The Dukes ball is your friend as a bowler. Why were you playing with the Kookaburra?
I don't know the answer to that, because I got told that the Dukes didn't make a women's size ball, but then someone tweeted me to tell me that they do. So I don't know. I genuinely can't answer that. I'm going to have to Google it. But yeah, it's something that, again, I hope that we can look into, and moving forward when we play home test matches, certainly against Australia, I hope that we can get a Dukes in our hand and not a Kookaburra, because they swing for about 5 minutes and then that's it. They're gone.
And the format, you're using the Ashes scoring format, aren't you? So it's 4 points for the test match and 2 points for the white ball games. Is that right? Are you happy with that?
As well, I think that's something that we could move forward into all international cricket. If, you know, if we were to play against South Africa or Sri Lanka, we could have that format where you play all three forms of the game in a point system and then the winner comes out on top. And I genuinely think that it gives you the best team, you know, because you've got to adapt to all the conditions, you've got to adapt to all the formats. And that's something that we've seen has been really successful in how we form our Ashes over the past 3 or 4 years. So yeah, that could also be an answer as to how we get more of the red ball game into women's side of the sport.
I think that's it. Any more for you, Harmy?
No, it's just one thing I would say is it's been a fantastic positive for the women's game, and it was great to see that, you know, the girls enjoyed themselves on TV on the big stage while the men's game was rained off. So congratulations, fair play, and we look forward to seeing more women's cricket in the longer format in the future.
Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you so much to Kate. Just a reminder that England have announced their 16-strong squad for the Royal London Series against India. And head coach Lisa Keatley said, we're looking forward to playing ODI cricket again in a hugely enjoyable after a hugely enjoyable hard-fought test. No space on this occasion for Danny Wyatt and Georgia Elwes. She says that competition for places is stronger than ever. Just confirmation that the first ODI Sunday at Bristol, starting at 11 a.m. Wednesday, and Taunton, a 2 p.m. game under lights, and then next Sunday, July the 3rd, the third of those ODIs at New Road, Worcester. You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and Double Ashes winner Steve Harmison. And in the final part of the programme, we hear from England legend Sir Alastair Cook, who's been giving his thoughts on the current test side. You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with the Institute of Cricket.
Sergeant Yankee in his baseball.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective here on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and former England fast bowler Steve Harmison. As promised, it's time now to hear from the former England captain, Sir Alastair Cook, who has told TalkSport that England's decision to rest players during the pandemic has been a huge mistake. England lost their first series at home since 2014 when they were beaten last week 1-0 by New Zealand. And Cook gave his thoughts to Hawksby and Jacobs over on TalkSport.
I mean, I can't remember captaining a side very often in my captain 50-odd times that I didn't have a full strength side to choose from. Actually, in the last eight games, he hasn't had his, you know, obviously we missed games to injury, but due to rotation, he hasn't had eight games without a stronger side. And you can't really afford to do that against the top sides. And I think England got themselves in a bit of a mess, actually. You know, they tried to be proactive a little bit with bubble life and the COVID this winter. But it seemed to me they got their priorities a little bit wrong. Or, they said it was all about the Test cricket all going to Australia, you know, but it hasn't kind of worked out like that. You know, Owen Morgan's got a full strength side for these ODIs these T20 against Sri Lanka. But Joe Root against India away, which is tough enough. And certainly when they're 1-0 up to suddenly three players missing, to New Zealand, the number one side in the world, you know, players missing. And now it's only now India, they'll have their full strength side. So I feel for Joe Root. And actually it's caught England out because you just don't want to lose games of cricket. And you certainly you can't afford to lose games at home. And you know, winning is such a habit and losing, unfortunately, is a habit. And this side, you know, the last few games have lost a lot of games. It's going to, you know, it's a big effort now they have. It's a great challenge for them. And there's no reason why they can't beat India, actually. You know, at home, we've got a great record at home, but it's going to be tough for them.
They need a fit Ben Stokes. I mean, it's so clear. And even without Wokes, that all-rounder gives you flexibility. You can play a spinner. You know, your batting's absolutely longer. I did feel for him from that point of view. But watching these two teams, India and New Zealand especially, I mean, they have been, you know, they look ahead of England in where they are at the moment.
They are ahead in terms of they've got all three kind of elements, you know, the three aspects of it ahead of them, aren't they? They bowl better. They're pretty bowl on par, actually. England's bowling was pretty good, actually. And I think they got bowled New Zealand out for par scores, but New Zealand's batting looked very solid, played the conditions, played the situation very well, and their catching was absolutely fantastic. I think the bit which would frustrate me as an England fan, you know, you're talking about a balanced side. They didn't have a balanced side. So going to edge, not playing the spinner because they didn't think they could fit it in. Actually, it didn't cost them because they didn't bat well enough. But if England did bat well enough on that third innings and set New Zealand 240, it would have turned. It would have been a dry wicket. So, you know, they didn't play a spinner. So that would have cost them as well. But you had Moeen Ali, a spinning all-rounder. You know, even if Ben Stokes not fit, which does happen, he broke his finger, he was out for injury. Like, he had Moeen playing for Worcester in a T20 game. And at the same time, you think we're crying out for Moeen now. So, look, it was tough, actually. And that balance, that side wasn't right for those two games. But, you know, come India in 5 or 6 weeks' time, they will, you know, with everyone back, and obviously Ben Stokes back, hopefully he'll be fit again. But even without Ben Stokes, Chris Wokes, Sam Curran, Moeen Ali, all those guys who fill in those all-rounder roles, yes, different to Ben Stokes, you know, will make England a far better side.
And one final thing, and it's a bit of a bugbear of mine, sorry about this, but before the women's test match started, there were so many complaints about the fact that they'd been given a second-hand pitch. But in the end, the pitch was the winner. It played really well. It was a draw. It was a good test match as well. And I think all these people on social media had a right go and sort of took it as some sort of insult. They owe the groundsman at Bristol an apology, I think.
Well, actually, in general, that test match was a really good test match, wasn't it? You know, historically, you'd have said women's test matches, because they don't play it very often, so it's a bit unfair for you to criticise her. You know, they spend their life playing T20 and 50-over stuff with domestically and international, so they don't play very many test matches. You know, actually, the scoring rates, you know, I can be less than two, but actually, throughout the game, the scoring rates were, you know, around 3 runs and over, which is perfectly acceptable. It was great, entertainment. I thought England played some really good cricket. They were very proactive. And obviously the weather kind of cost them a bit of time. But if there wasn't the weather, India got themselves in a pretty good situation to as well after following on. So I thought it was a great advert for Test cricket, and I think for women's Test cricket, and I think for them progressing the game, I like the multi-format for them. I think every series should have one Test match in it for them.
You know, Sir Alistair spent so long of his playing career and his captaincy career trying to say the right thing if he wasn't trying to say nothing. And I always wondered how he would transition to the media world. But my goodness, he's good value these days. He's he really speaks his mind. I just want to pay a quick tribute to our producer and what a fine man he is, Scott Taylor, because Harmy, he's been digging around in last week's archives and he's found Chris Wokes. I get the sense that you were a little bit frustrated about his lack of frustration, but actually, this is what he had to say a couple of days ago about his wasted winter.
Well, I think that's the best way of putting it, really. Frustrating winter for me. Obviously, the South Africa tour pre-Christmas, you know, what happened with COVID, and we were obviously due to play that ODI series and not played there. And then the unfortunate events of having to isolate when we got to Sri Lanka, having been in close contact with Mo, I suppose just all bubbles up to frustration and a really frustrating time, really. And then obviously not playing a single game all winter after the summer that I had, it almost just felt like a bit of a waste for me. So yeah, really, really frustrating. You know, I didn't get a go in India either, which at the same time was unfortunate. But, you know, I was excited by going to IPL, getting into a different environment, you know, a different, I suppose, of team environment to pick some brains and try and get playing cricket again. Played a few games there, obviously, but you know, obviously that was cut short. So I'm excited to play some cricket. Great to be back out there with Warwickshire Bears over the last week or so. And yeah, just want to put that behind me, really, and look to what's ahead. Because, yeah, it's certainly been a tough seven or 8 months or so since last September.
There you go, Harmy. That's Chris Wokes frustrated for you. We've got a minute and a half left. Wrap it up.
Frustrated. Yeah, but there's one thing being frustrated, Manners, but you get off a plane coming back from India, IPL finish. You ring up Ashley Giles and say, I'm going to play for Warwickshire next week. I'm not bothered about the physio or I've not played for a long time. I'm going to play for Warwickshire next week and I'm coming to Lords to play to balance the side out for England. Simple. It is simple. Player power. Trent Bolt, I am playing in the World Test Championship. I'm going to come over, play the second Test match, isolate, get myself ready, two nets, and I'm going to play in that Test match. He came 10,000 miles, Chris was 10 miles down the road. If he was frustrated, onus of your own career, pipe up, tell them that you want to do that. Sorry, words are talk's cheap. It's about actions, and unfortunately, some of the actions that some of the players are taking is not for me, is not good enough. Hiding behind other people, nah. Not for me. Sorry.
And Sir Alistair, what did you? You got 30 seconds left.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. He said what we all think. You know, the Test team hasn't been looked after like the one day side, and we are now seeing the consequences of that. You know, he knows it more than anybody else. You spun it up perfectly. I thought he was absolutely brilliant.
Thank you very much indeed, Harmy. I when I say 30 seconds, I always expect you to go for a minute.
You should say that more often.
So I tell you what, we do actually have 30 seconds left. Luke Fletcher, defending 12, last over, T20 blast against Lancashire, goes for 4 in his first 4 balls. He's thinking, job done. 8 off the last 2. I've done it. He bowls a knee-high full toss, gets whacked over mid-wicket for 6, and then has to defend 1 off the last ball and does it. Range of emotions in one over as a fast bowler. Now you really do have 30 seconds.
That is 2020. 2020 in it, Manners. 2020 at its best. Brilliant. That's what we love the game for.
I bet your heart went out to it. You've been listening to The Cricket Collective here on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and former England fast bowler Steve Harmison. If you missed any of the show or you wish to catch up, as always, you can listen back to the podcast now. Available via the free TalkSport app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.